That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
This is our league, and this is your league. Broadcasting from the 55-yard line in Japan to the shores of the Great White North and everywhere around the world on Gridiron America Radio and the Sports History Network.
And welcome back to Gridiron America. Today it is Dave and Greg, and Michael be jumping on here soon, I hope. There he is, actually. Now, funny you should mention it. I just started the show, and I'm like,
speaking,
oh, Michael
be jumping on.
There you are. So, all right. Well, it is. It's been a busy week football-wise. Last week with CFL Week 9, and obviously training camps opening up, and you know, we're on the precipice, and also other things like, you know, flag football practice. You know, we've started August, so now we're in the dog days of August. So the best part about the dog days of August for me, memory-wise, is that smell of fresh-cut grass before, you know, that morning before football practice. So, yeah, so we got starting off August, man. It's really football. It's truly, I mean, it's been football season since June 1st. With the Canadians starting, but now we're going to be in full swing here, and we're going to have a lot of frickin' football here in the next for several months. So
best time of the year.
Yeah. So with that said, Mike, how you doing, buddy? We didn't see you last week, but yeah, how you doing?
Doing great. Glad to be back on, and definitely ready to talk some really good football this week. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. You guys see Spider-Man?
No, not yet.
Definitely worth a shot.
Do I still want to see the noir.
Huh?
The Spider Noir. I still want to see that.
That's a great show. That Nicolas Cage, you know, I'm not a big Nicolas Cage fan, but he did not disappoint in that. And then Amazon, you know, the Amazon. And two, on top of all this, talking football, sports, and everything, tomorrow, new season of Ted Lasso. So life's good all around, and we got the new Green Lantern TV show coming out, in, like I think in about a week and a half. So, all right. So with Greg, all that said, Dave,
Greg, do you have time for football?
Yeah, barely, barely. Yeah. Well, and the thing is, too, this time of day, it's evening where you guys are at, but it's morning here. I still got a full day ahead of me. So I got as soon as we stop, I'm out the door for the rest of the day, and after that, the podcast will be going up. The live stream and everything will be on YouTube. You know, we're on live streaming right now on Facebook, YouTube, where else? Twitter. I mean, it's like on my LinkedIn page and my Facebook page. You know, it'd be nice. We need to get 100 followers on our Facebook page so we can just live stream over there. But, yeah, so this is going out live to about 7 different spots. But the podcast, the episode will be up after I get back. So within the next 8 hours, there will be hopefully be a podcast. If not, hopefully maybe if I'm lucky, might be able to actually push this podcast out before I'm supposed to leave here for running all my errands. So we'll see. But Dave, how you doing, man?
Great. We had our My youngest had his first flag football practice tonight, so we're 2 hours into our football experience. So
sweet.
So did he like it?
He loved it.
Good.
So ran around, got to know. We have 33 kids on our kindergarten first grade team. So they had to actually double their coaching staff because we have so many kids.
Wow.
We actually the U14 national championships were held this past weekend. It was on NFL Network. Quick shout out to here in Ocala, Florida. The guys for Team Ocala, Florida took home the national championship. So,
congrats! That's awesome.
Yeah, man, a lot of good athletes in flag football, and I'm glad they're finally getting recognized through the Olympics more so than just Team USA.
Yeah. And I mean, with flag football, they're playing it here in Japan. I know there's a flag football team here in this little town where I'm at. Obviously in Tokyo, it's a big thing. I know, I think John Gunning and I talked about it on the Old Gridiron Japan show, just talking about how big flag football has become. And so it's going to be interesting to see. But the key for flag football to me is the NFL buy-in. Mm-hmm. Without the NFL buying in and pushing it, flag football would be a popular thing, but I think the NFL, it's always about growing the sport, growing the fan base. So,
supposedly the NFL is all in. So
there's
a tournament coming up in Germany. That a lot of nations are going to be participating. It's going to be almost like one of the precursors up to the actual Olympics. So it should be
European championships. And really, kind of to piggyback on your point, Greg, NFL Europe did the same thing. They brought the NFL brought their influence over, and all the while NFL Europe was around. Now, you know, that's no longer a thing, but you know, you see, especially in Germany and Austria through various leagues and teams,
yeah.
The passion is just, it's amazing over there. They're starting at youth football and all the way to the adult national team.
Yeah, and even when, you know, the Elf was playing, I mean, they put people in the stands. Now, obviously, the Elf and whatever has come since, I mean, financially it was a basket case, but the fan support was there. You can't say that there weren't people mm-hmm. enthused and excited about football, because whenever, anytime I turn on an Elf game, There were a lot more people at an Elf game than there were at an X League game. I mean, that's just, you know, just by looking at the TV going, yeah, the Europeans, the Europeans would, I mean, obviously soccer is always going to be the number one sport, but NFL style football, tackle football, flag, I mean, there's plenty of room for a number two because they don't, you know, the Europeans don't have baseball, and I mean, they've got basketball and I mean, but yeah, there's plenty of room for the NFL for flag football and football itself to grow in Europe. So, all right. Well, hey, we've already, let's say 7 minutes into it, and we haven't even touched on our topics for the show. So, guys, where do you want to start? We're going to start, I'm thinking we start with the CFL week that was and go from there. So, before I go through the scores, you guys want to go through our Thursday? Want to go sequentially through the scores, or do you want to just start with the dog? You know, the dog crap games, and then work our way up to the best games.
I mean, how do you want the best for last? I say.
Okay. Yep. All right. Okay. Well, obviously, we're going to start off with the game that was probably the biggest blowout, and that was the Montreal. I was going to say the Montreal Alouette game, but yeah, that's the Montreal Ottawa game. So we had Montreal was 34-13 winners over Ottawa. And I don't think any of us doubted that this game was going to be what it was. Dave? Mike?
No, Montreal is just too much for Ottawa.
Yeah.
I mean, Ottawa kept it close. It was 24-13 at the half. Jake Mayer still had 300 yards. But it just came down. Montreal was 72% on second downs. Montreal was 42% on second downs. And the kicker for me was Montreal was 4-for-5 scoring red zone touchdowns, and Ottawa 1-for-5. And that's just not going to get it done. I mean, especially when you're playing Montreal, and when your margin of error is so small against them.
Mike?
Oh, you can see it or not. MVP, Davis Alexander. You can't get shut out 10-0 in the second half when you're playing the best quarterback in the league. So 420 yards, 3 touchdowns. You got to play really good football to beat a tough Montreal team right now. You can't fold. You know, I know Ottawa is what they are, and I believe they just relieved their head coach. So, you know, we'll see, you know, what the future holds. But
they didn't relieve their head coach, did they?
Was it
defensive coordinator, I believe.
Oh, yeah, defensive coordinator. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was a DC. Because
they also released Eugene Lewis, too. But that obviously is a – well, if you read into it, they ended up because it was before their ninth game, they don't have to pay him the rest of his salary. So that was kind of like, ooh, we're 0-7. We're not going to pay you $200,000. We'll pay you for the first 7 weeks. Thanks.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's rough.
Oh, that's harsh.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
Hopefully he gets picked up. I mean, he's a good player. He's had a great career. Hopefully someone picks him up. Obviously, they're going to have to pay him a decent salary, but he can help somebody, especially if you're knocking on the door. He can definitely help you.
Yeah. I mean, there's still teams that need help in the CFL. I mean, this is, as we learned this week, I mean, we were already kind of Ottawa, obviously, I think it's safe to say they're not going to make the playoffs at this point. Yeah, they have no hope. You know, they keep firing people. They keep getting rid of people.
Hopefully they can just win a game this year.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, I'm looking at the numbers for the game, and it was just complete domination by Montreal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no – except for the giveaways. Obviously, Ottawa did better on giveaways because they gave it away more. But – and then penalties too. Ottawa led with penalties. So, so on the stat sheet, you know, it was, you know, I don't know. I have nothing good to say about Ottawa at this point. And Montreal is the class of the league right now.
I'll give Ottawa this. Granted, they were 1-for-5 in scoring red zone touchdowns, but Jake Mayer he had 300 yards passing, and it was 24-13 going into the half.
Yeah.
They had to press the ball more, and granted they're 0-7, but it was offensively, if you take not scoring touchdowns out of it, they did move the ball. They had some offensive production.
Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't scoring touchdowns, and that's, you're going to have to match Montreal. Like, that's just basically what's going to happen. So if you can't score touchdowns, and we can talk about that in one of the later games as well, it's just not going to go well for you at the final score.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, they're, I would, it's going to be interesting to see when they play Hamilton. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be their only win for with the way they've been going.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the numbers for Ottawa. But yeah, you're right. Jake Mayer, I mean, he had, you know, 311 passing yards. That's great.
0 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Yeah,
Greg Ball only had 19 yards. I mean,
yeah,
got to have a better effort all across the board. And when you're playing the best team in the league,
exactly.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, no, it's yeah. Maybe. Let's see. We got Ottawa. Who does Ottawa play next week? Oh, they play the Rough Riders next week, so maybe not. Maybe.
I wouldn't trust Ottawa to beat a bye if they had a bye week right now.
Yeah. It would be a tie.
Take the under.
Yeah. So let's talk about the next game. Let's talk about Calgary and Hamilton. So Calgary was 44-20 over Hamilton. Because of the time this game was on, I did not watch it. So I leave it to you guys to tell me what I missed.
Dave, you want to start?
Sure. To be honest, what my first note was, better game than the score showed. I mean, it was 24-19 after three quarters, and then it just didn't happen. Trey Ford, ineffective. He just did not look comfortable. Calgary was getting to him. That reverse was probably one of the worst reverses, or it was like a reverse flea flicker, and they hand the ball off. The running back Roundtree went to around the end, gave it to our receiver. Our receiver came back, had two stampeders running at him, and just turned and gave. So here you go, Trey Ford. He just got hammered. it was like no one wanted to get tackled. I thought Harrison Frost looked pretty good in the limited time he had. He threw some nice balls. He turned one over, got hit. I mean, they missed, the offensive line just missed someone coming right up the middle. He got hit, fumbled the ball. The Stampeders scored a touchdown. That was part of that fourth quarter just ending. It just got ugly quick. And Hamilton needs to find a quarterback they can trust. And Vernon Adams, just a solid, moving the ball, scoring points, putting the Stampeders in position to win. Like, it wasn't anything flashy. The defense definitely really clamped down in the fourth quarter, but it was just a good, solid road win for Calgary.
Yeah, Calgary's sneaky. I mean, they're 4-4 right now. We weren't so sure about them at the beginning of the year. You know, they outscored Hamilton 20-1 in that fourth quarter. Like you mentioned, Dave, Vernon Adams had a solid game. And again, props to Tyreek McAllister, man. He's the touchdown machine. It doesn't matter how he does it. Every game he's scoring touchdowns. And really, kind of, again, to piggyback on what you mentioned, defenses have, I think, started to figure out Trey Ford. 4 of 10 for 58 yards and 52 rushing yards. So he was ineffective in the things that, you know, some people in Hamilton were hoping were the next Mike Vick experience. That kind of sizzled out really quickly. So, yeah, I agree. They got to figure out the quarterback play, and they got to figure it out quick.
Yeah, no. That comparison to Mike Vick is completely – that's based on – that's all it is hope. That's just hope. You know, be nice if he could be another Mike Vick. Well, I mean – except for the dog part.
The legal stuff.
The legal stuff, yeah. But yeah.
No, always that legal stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it always catches you. But yeah, no. Yeah, no, I woke because this game was, you know, I was sleeping. So that's my excuse for not watching it. I think it was a day game, right? It was on earlier in the day. So yeah, so I didn't miss much at all. And all. And so with that said, though, but with Calgary, I still say Calgary is the team to beat in the West. I just, when I watch them, I mean, because they have, let me see who they've beat. Let me take a look at their, let me see who they've beat over. I'll have to go back. Okay. So Calgary has beat the Rough Riders, right? They beat Winnipeg. Do you guys recall?
I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because I'm like looking at the way I should have looked this up, but Calgary has given every team they've played against a run for their money. It seems to me that they're in every game that they play because let's see here.
I mean, Vernon Adams, while you're looking it up, Vernon Adams just doesn't throw interceptions.
Right.
He's been tremendous with the ball.
Yeah, and if you look at the point, okay, so they have scored, I think, maybe before I shoot my mouth off, so they've scored the most points in the league so far, 322 to 264. In the division, they're 2-2. I could easily make a case for them as we move forward, especially now because we're going into the next half of the season, that they are going to be the team to beat. It just feels like that way to me. I could be wrong, been wrong many a times, like about the UFL and stuff like that. But yeah, Calgary. I mean, right now we've got on the standings. I mean, Calgary's 500 and Winnipeg's 500, and those are two different 500 teams, completely different.
Close. Yeah,
yeah.
So far this year, you have Calgary lost by 2 points to Winnipeg.
Right.
3 points to Saskatchewan.
Okay.
Then they beat BC by 8. Then they beat Toronto by 18. Then they lost to Montreal by 7. Then they lost to Montreal by 6. And then they beat Winnipeg by 22 and Hamilton by 24.
Yeah, and they haven't played Edmonton yet.
Yeah. Yep. So all four of their losses were one possession games. I mean, Calgary could easily be 8-0 right now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as I'm looking at this going, man, it just seems like Calgary's better than what they're you know, definitely better than what their record reflects.
Yes. The only ding I would put on Calgary is they don't have the defense that Montreal, Edmonton, or Saskatchewan has.
Right.
On a consistent basis. They're giving up a lot of points. Right. Now they're playing some good teams, so they're giving up points, but you need to ratchet that down a little bit as we get close to the fall, because you're not going to see a lot of, I don't think you're going to see a lot of scores in the 40s come late October.
Yeah, once the weather turns and the rain comes and hopefully the snow comes. I mean, that's the best part of football is watching it in the snow.
From home on your couch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's even better. There's a blizzard. It's like the Super Bowl. Dave, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
There's nothing better than sitting in Rich Stadium in negative wind chill with snow falling on you. Warm inside watching football.
Bills in Park tomorrow.
spent many Sunday nights during the early 90s having some fun times at those games. So
cool.
No complaints sitting in snow watching football.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I stand corrected. So all right. So moving on here. Let's talk about the third game here. So we had BC winning over Winnipeg. And this game was at Winnipeg, which I was shocked. BC showed up and kind of told me that, okay, maybe they are not as bad as I think they are. Mike?
Yeah. For me, this was the first start for Caden Sulcher that they just acquired. Maybe he can turn the ship around. And I know for any of our NFL fans that don't want, especially Atlanta fans, they don't want to hear the numbers 25-3. But they outscored Winnipeg in the fourth quarter, 25-3. They turned it around. But the unspoken hero really is, I think, Xander Hogarth, almost 200 yards rushing on 3 touchdowns. Drew Brown, you know, he didn't turn the ball over. But again, when you are running the ball that effectively, and, you know, again, Caden had a good game, 96 yards and a touchdown. That's tough to stop. So if you're ineffective in the fourth quarter, offensively and defensively, you can't stop a cold. It's going to be tough to be successful against a team like that. So I actually have it for next week's games. I said season saving game, 3-5 Hamilton and 2-5 BC. So I think one of those teams is going to be on the road to maybe the playoffs. The other team, I think that might be it for him. So definitely interested to see how that plays out next week for those teams.
Yeah. Dave?
For me, it was probably the oddest game of the whole weekend. I mean, BC was up 7-6 at halftime in a game that had Winnipeg controlling early, getting a couple field goals. BC just couldn't get things going right away, then got it going, got that touchdown before the half. Drew Brown left after taking a hit to the back when they were up 16-13. And this is we're whittling into like the late third, early fourth quarter with 6 minutes left. Winnipeg was up 19-13. With 6 minutes left. And it was like, then basically it seems like the wheels fell off for Winnipeg. Algrisma couldn't get a first down. And then BC got the ball and Winnipeg couldn't tackle anybody. And as Mike said, Xander Horvath was just unstoppable in the last 10 minutes of the game. He had those two humongous runs where the holes were nice. He got through, but he was still breaking some tackles and just got into secondary. And just, it was like, holy cow, what just happened in Winnipeg? Like, this doesn't happen.
Yeah. He had, I mean, these are old school NFL numbers too. 191 yards on the ground, three TDs. I mean, just amazing.
As a team, BC had 377 yards rushing. Like, it's unheard of in the CFL.
And Salter was 160. Salter 160 yards on the ground. Just
For phenomenal. Me, it was at the end of the day. To me, this was a massive upset because it seemed like Winnipeg was playing the game they wanted, and then they forgot to tackle in the last 6 minutes of the game. It was wild. It was just really, it got you really thinking about the second half of this year for Winnipeg, because you heard a lot of the players questioning themselves. How is this happening? What's going on? And Winnipeg for a year has lived by the veterans, and it seems like the veterans are not necessarily living up to what they're supposed to be doing. And who knows what Zach Collaros is up to, what his status is, and what's going to happen with them. Because just like Hamilton, just like BC, Winnipeg will go as far as Zach Collaros can take them. Because we've seen now over the course of 2-3 weeks that Drew Brown is not the answer at this time. And I don't think Taylor Elgersma is the answer at this time either. So it's funny how we're rolling through week 9 and the cream of the crop is rising, and then you have like the top tier, and then you have the next tier, and that next tier is they're playing games, and then you have the bottom tier of hope nobody gets hurt playing them. Like it's one of those things where it's really crazy after week 9 where we're at with the schedule.
Technically, even Ottawa still has a chance at this point, which just kind of goes to, this is the last year where you're only going to, I mean, next year it's going to be next year for us talking about playoffs is going to be a completely different conversation. But for this year, I mean, you still got three teams that aren't going to make it. And it's becoming obvious that it's going to be a three-team race to the bottom. Truly be a three-team race to the bottom. And, but right now, Montreal is still the class of the league until anybody says otherwise, just on wins and losses. But Calgary is still, I think, the team to watch, because they can score points.
Yeah, and kind of to touch back on the BC game, Caden Salter, if you remember, before he transferred to play for Dion at Colorado, he was untouchable at Liberty. Obviously we know why he went to, he went to Coach Prime's team and, NIL and all that. And I think that affected his growth for being a better pro. But, he fell right in the hands of BC, and I'm very interested to see his development. Will he turn the whole team around? We'll see. But I think 160 yards rushing and then his passing, like, he had a great game. So I'm really excited to see what he does for the rest of the year.
All right. I am too. I am too. Sorry, I had to adjust my camera here. Just
no problem.
It's not looking right.
Jump in. No problem. To jump in real quick with what Mike was saying.
Yeah.
Kudos to Hamilton. Kudos for BC for the first time when Trey Four had their first start. Caden Salter has his first start on the game plan, on really utilizing and going to the strengths of the player.
Yeah. I agree.
Now, granted, this is professional football. It's up to their teams to counter that, to catch up with that. But it's good to see that they're not just throwing quarterbacks out there and expecting them to run the offense. Like, he was not going to be, Salter was not going to be successful in Nathan Rourke's offense. Like right. they had to change that game plan around. It's yeah. good to see how quickly they were able to do that and put in a package where he had the opportunity to succeed. And you can see there's a lot of bootlegs, a lot of him with the almost like the option, give it or to Horvath or keep it himself. And he saw the field great and they utilized his speed. So great to see that. It's one of those things where sometimes you keep putting this square peg in a round hole and they make them drop back and run the offense that everyone understands. And it just looks awful, but it made for one interesting game that Winnipeg definitely wasn't ready for at the end of the day.
Yep. Yep. So final thoughts on this game, Mike, final thought on this game before we go to the last.
I think I pretty much summed it all up. Question for you guys though, with the evolution of football always changing, and we're starting to see a lot more RPOs and that sort of thing, spread option. Do you guys think that'll be something we'll start seeing more of in the CFL in the next few years?
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that because it just evolves and, you know, they're finding – I mean, it's just the nature of football. It just constantly evolves. And, it wasn't that long ago we were talking about the death of the running back in the NFL. And now running backs are back in vogue. You know, hopefully at some point the fullback. So,
bring back the fullback.
Yeah, bring back the fullback. You know, so but no, I agree with you. I think I see. I know what you're saying, but yeah, I could see them doing that. You know, Dave,
certainly. It's such a wide field. It's such a large field. Yeah. There's so much room to cover. The athletes are getting better and better. They're getting faster and faster. You get players open. You get in players in open space. Things are going to happen, and you're just seeing that this year, week after week. Was it Phil Pott in Montreal already 1,000 yards after 8 games? It's just you get the ball in the space and let these players play, and it's awesome to see. And if you're watching games, if you're looking at highlights on the CFL, I'll recommend the CFL YouTube page. It's great to look at the comments on the number of American viewers who are commenting going, this is amazing. This is great football. It's wide open. You're seeing offense. You're seeing players making plays. It's great. It's great to see. And I love it personally. It's awesome. Like let them play whatever offense scores you points and wins you games.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let's go into the best for last, and that was the Rough Riders and Elks game, and what looked to be a very packed lower portion of Commonwealth Stadium. The upper deck was open, but there really wasn't anybody in the upper decks. However, the lower bowl, people showed up. Granted, I would say about half of those were Rough Rider fans, it looked like, but it was nice to see, number one, people showing up for a game in Edmonton. And not just a smattering of fans like we're used to seeing, but also a great game. I mean, it came down to the very end. Mike?
Yeah, I think Commonwealth, I don't think it gets enough due. I think it's a beautiful stadium, and I really hope that the fans will start coming out more, pour in their support. As far as the game itself goes, you know, Trevor Harris, he threw a pick, but, you know, 239 yards and a touchdown. You know, Tommy can't stop me, Stevens, you know, 3 touchdowns. But I think the difference with special teams, especially that 87-yard kick return Johnny Johnson took to the house, that was huge. What I do want to see more of, Cody Fajardo had a great game, but man, between Austin Mack and TJ Luther, I want to see those guys get the ball more because I feel like those are two guys that are very talented and they just don't get the ball as much as maybe they should. Again, not taking anything away from Edmonton's game plan. I think Edmonton just ran out of time. If they played another quarter, who knows, but great game by Saskatchewan. They made the adjustments they needed to. And I think they were consistent where it mattered most, especially in that special teams. But it was an exciting game to watch, game of the week.
Dave?
I agree 100%. By far the best game of the weekend. And Edmonton needs to score touchdowns, not field goals. That's what stymied them at the end of the day. They moved the ball. Both teams moved the ball. The defenses played well. Saskatchewan was, here's a couple same type stats. Saskatchewan was 4 for 5 in red zone touchdowns, where Edmonton was 2 for 5. Edmonton ended up being 4 for 4 with field goals. Saskatchewan was 0 for 1. Second down, they're just about even. And like Mike said, Tommy Stevens with those 3 touchdowns kind of overshadowed the way Trevor Harris played, because he didn't get the results, but he did move the ball, move the Riders down in position to score. And talking about just touching upon what Mike said at the end about getting the receivers more involved, it seemed like it almost seemed like Edmonton got in the way of themselves with utilizing Rankin and the passing game. Like it seemed like they wanted to make sure everyone got enough touches, and it didn't seem like they were, for me, it didn't seem like they were totally in sync all game long. Now, granted, the Riders defense did provide a reason why they weren't, but it didn't seem like Edmonton was comfortable all game long.
Yeah, you're right.
Being at home.
That's a good point. I got that sense too.
The Riders, typical Rider game. They controlled the flow. I thought Trevor Harris, is approaching 40 years old, was just unbelievable. Unbelievable, to be honest. But I think Edmonton certainly left points on the board, where last time I think you could say the same thing about Saskatchewan the first time they played. So but it was an awesome game. It was an awesome game to end the weekend, to cap off week 9 as we move into week 10. And once again, the CFL cannot be upset with these games. They're such entertaining. And it was great to see, as you said, at the top of the game recap here, great crowd. Good to see, regardless. It was the Riders fans coming out as well. There were a lot of Edmonton fans, which is great to see.
Yeah.
Winning show.
Yep. Go ahead. Sorry,
Greg.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm interjecting. You finish your thought.
Winning cures everything, regardless of your team name.
That's what I was
going
to say.
Playing for it. you win games. You could be called the Edmonton whatevers.
Yep.
The people are going to come out. If you're 6-1, 6-2, and you're playing great football, probably the best they've played in 7-8 years, people are going to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all about winning. You see the same thing too in the NFL. If your team sucks, fans aren't going to show up. Now, obviously, it's like comparing apples to oranges when it comes to ticket prices and fan support and a whole lot of other things. But yeah, when the Washington Commanders were, sucking big time as the Commanders, you didn't have a whole lot of fan support, but they started winning and boom. Oh yeah. Redskins. Yeah. We're fine with Commanders. Yeah. We're fine. It's all about winning. No, personally, just on a note,
I wish
they, yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, I was fine with the name, but obviously they changed the name. So, and same with everything else when it comes to football. It boils down to this. Put a winning product on the field, people are going to show up, no matter what you call the team. And so, Mike, your thoughts?
I remember when Cleveland, I don't think they won a year of that game. I think they went 0-16 that year. You could go on StubHub and get mid-level seats of Browns game for 75 cents on StubHub.
Really?
So
jeez,
it's a great deal. But, when you start winning, man, it really cures a lot. But I think, again, it was a fun game to watch this week. And I'm really excited to see how Edmonton's going to bounce back when they play Montreal. I think we're all in the same boat. I think that's game of the week, but it'll be interesting to see if Montreal, Davis Alexander can keep up the momentum. The MVP is his at this point to lose. And it just really to see how Edmonton responds. I think they're a great team. I think they just, it's hit and miss with Rankin right now. And you know, when it's not working, you got to change it up. I think the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting same result or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to, not to take away from this week's game, but I'm really looking forward to Edmonton and Montreal next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of which, I got the schedule up here, and let's talk about looking ahead to next week. So we got Calgary at Toronto for the Thursday night game. I'm going to go with Calgary. You guys? Who's your pick on this one?
I got Calgary.
I'm going to go Toronto.
Okay. All right. And then we got Saskatchewan versus Ottawa. I think we're all in agreement that this is going to be, and this is a home game for the Riders too. So I would not bet against the Riders at home.
No. I'm seeing a 40-point win.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we've got, and this is the game that ticks me off too, because I'm looking at the time and it's a 4 a.m. game here. So we'll see if, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, I can actually, nighttime me can get to bed early so he doesn't screw morning time me, because that's always the battle in my house here. Me going to bed late and then me trying to get up early, and the two of us never, you know, we can't get both guys on the same page in terms of bedtime and getting up time.
You got to have that military mindset.
No. Listen, once the pandemic happened and I didn't have to get to work and I didn't have to start my day until 8 o'clock in the morning just by rolling out of bed and turning the computer on. Yeah. Me getting up, those days of me like really focused on getting up early, we're done. So I don't know, man. I'm going with Montreal. I think it's hard to bet against Montreal playing a home game.
I agree.
Mike?
As tough as that is to see Edmonton lose two in a row, again, until Montreal shows otherwise, they're the home team. You got to go with them.
Yeah. Yep. And then for the final game of the week, we got BC, home game for BC against Hamilton. And I don't know. I think I'm going to go with BC.
Give me BC. I'm on the Sulter train right now, but I'm really excited for him. And we'll see how Trey Ford does, you know, as well. But I mean, really, if you look at this, BC wins, they're 3-5, and Hamilton will drop to 3-6 if that's, you know, the way the cookie crumbles. But it's kind of a low key, it could be a good game. Not best game of the week, but you know, we'll see.
Yep.
Yeah. I think Hamilton having to go cross country is just going to be too much. And there's so much uncertainty at their quarterback position. BC's got a good game plan, and we might see, I just don't see Hamilton. I don't see much from Hamilton until Bo Levi Mitchell can come back. Just to be honest, I just don't see. I mean, I think they can keep it competitive, but I just don't see. I don't think there's enough there offensively to keep up with what they're going to give up on the defensive side.
Yeah. Xander Horvath, excuse me, is going to be tough to stop.
Yep. Yeah. So with all that said, let's turn our eyes down south to Mike's old stomping grounds in Ohio, where we've got go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
Real quick. We are 40 days to go until the first quadruple header.
Oh yeah.
Many, many years.
Yes, I saw
September
that.
September 12th.
Like, holy crap. 4 games in one day.
Yeah, Saturday, September 12th. 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock. So it's gonna be a long day, Greg. I'm sorry.
Get your beverages and get comfortable.
this is the time of the year where, you know, the CFL has to adjust to the NFL, and the only way they can do it is by doing 4 games on a Saturday, because
Otherwise, they're going against college too. So
yeah. I mean, yeah, that's right. Because college starts. When does college kick off?
I believe next month. I think it's the first Saturday in. It's the last Saturday in August or the first Saturday in September.
Yeah. So yeah,
there's,
man.
There's usually a couple games on that week zero there in
the week zero. August. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Now, are they just... going? To, are they playing a game in London on week zero? Or is that week one?
Boy, the NFL or college?
I'm not
college.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know they were playing in London this year.
Yeah, I think it's K-State.
Oh yeah, yeah, that does remind. Were they playing in London or Ireland?
Ireland. Yeah, North Carolina versus TCU on August 29th in Dublin.
Okay.
And then you have, that August 29th is wild. You have San Jose State at USC and the Coliseum. You have NC State, Virginia at Scott Stadium in Charlottesville. You have New Mexico State and Florida State in Tallahassee. You have Memphis at UNLV in Vegas. So it's going to be in Hawaii at Stanford in Stanford Stadium. So it's going to be a wild week zero, which I don't get this week zero. Just call it week one.
Yeah.
I mean, unless Coke is unless Coca-Cola is sponsoring it, they can call it Coke Zero Week or something. Come on. What's the point?
Yeah. Yeah. And did you see now?
That's me get off my lawn.
Yeah. Well, is this the first year? Let's talk about get off my lawn here before we segue into the talking about the start of the NFL season. I'm going on Yahoo to look at fantasy football stuff, and this is the first year I've seen college fantasy football. Is this new? Have I been missing something? Have there been
college? I think they brought it around the same time as NIL.
Okay. Maybe I just haven't been paying attention, but I mean, Yahoo Sports is pushing the college fantasy football pretty hard. So I just thought that was that was something new to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. Fantasy football for 32 teams is hard enough. There's no way I can do 128. There's no way. I'm sorry. You have to have a serious love of this to watch to be able to
or no life.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. It's hard enough with 32 teams, and even with an 8-team league, it's hard enough because you got to pay attention. You got to know. You got to check the waiver wire. I mean, that's the thing. When we start fantasy football up here soon, I got to get back in that routine with the waiver wire. You know, paying attention. It's yeah, I know. And then on top of that, we got all the FanDuel stuff and fantasy football. I mean, there's just a lot to it. So, moving on. Excuse me a second while I cough here. So let's move down south. We've got the start of the NFL season according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame website, we have exactly 2 days, 21 hours, 53 minutes, and 54 seconds before NFL football is officially back. So we got the Cardinals and the Panthers playing in the Hall of Fame game. And so we've got, I figured for the remainder of this episode, we'll talk about Hall of Fame stuff, about the guys that are going in, and just thoughts on who's going in and who didn't get in, who should go in, what have you. So either one of you guys want to lead off, Mike? Since it's in Ohio, Mike, we'll lead off because it's your – I wouldn't say it's your hometown, but it's close enough.
I grew up there. I had the opportunity to go to the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. Never have gone to a ceremony, so that's definitely on my bucket list. I was hopeful to go when Brett Favre got in, but, you know, we'll see what the future holds. As far as the Hall of Fame game, it's twofold. So, yes, on one hand, you're glad NFL is back, but usually the teams that play in the Hall of Fame game, if I remember correctly, they have one more additional preseason game. So a lot of the starters you won't even see dress. It's, for lack of a better word, for a lot of guys it's a glorified practice. It's a last chance for a lot of guys before the repetitions start to sink. So I think from like you know, you look at like a UFL perspective or even potentially CFL guys for next year, I think this is going to be their tryout. So that's important in that manner. But really just to have the NFL football, to have the shield back, I'm excited for that. As far as the guys going in this year, I can't say who.
Okay.
Dave, I'll let you and Greg lead the way as who you guys are excited for.
So we got Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, Luke Luke Kuechly? Am I Kuechly. Pronouncing it right? Excuse me. Adam Vinatieri and Roger Craig.
Yep.
Dave? Dave, can you hear us?
I thought it was a good group. I will always there's one who was left out. Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear him? Can you hear us?
Can you hear me now?
Who's on first?
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Okay, you're joking with me. Okay. good group. One player I will always say needs to be there is Steve Tasker, but I will say that every year until you get Mike said it's a great opportunity for 100 players to get some game tape to be able to show around. That's really about it. It's a great way to kick off the season, get the season underway, but I'm not expecting to see much in this game. I think the enshrinement's actually going on Saturday. So that should be a lot of fun. And like I said, all five players are deserving to be going in. So it's not anybody. I don't think anybody got who shouldn't be in is getting in. But it's some good players. And it's going to be a good weekend. Hopefully the weather is nice. And as we've been talking about, it's a great way to kick off the 2026 season.
Yeah. Now for me, I'm like looking at it. I mean, for the thumbnail for YouTube, it's Larry Fitzgerald. So for me, it's in this, you know, I don't usually get too excited about Hall of Fame classes, but to see Larry Fitzgerald go in after, you know, watching him from day one to start his career to where, and the only thing that was missing with Larry Fitzgerald is a Super Bowl ring. But even though the Cardinals lost that game against Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl, it didn't really feel like Arizona lost. They just ran out of time because that game could have gone either way and it went down to the wire. So for me, I'm excited to see him go in. Drew Brees going in. I think we all knew that he was going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I was surprised with Roger Craig. It took him this long to get in. That's what blows my mind. And Adam Vinatieri, I would argue probably there was several other kickers that are more deserving of him to go in before Adam Vinatieri, but that's a conversation for another time. But, you know, I'm not saying he's not deserving, but, I mean, there's a whole bunch of other players that I think would have been more deserving, and I'm specifically talking about Jim Plunkett, who should be in the Hall of Fame. But that's just – that's my opinion, and that's, you know, close. You know, I'm going to be 60 next year, so, and that's the old man in part. That's the old man part of me talking. So, your thoughts, guys?
I think Roger Craig should have been in a long time ago. It was very heartwarming to see his reaction when he realized he was going in the Hall of Fame. So, I'm definitely excited for him. Luke Kuechly, I think he's a great linebacker. Again, not taking anything from him. I really wish, hopefully in the next year or so, London Fletcher gets in. When you look at his comparison, I mean, his numbers were up there with Ray Lewis. He didn't have the name, the size, but I mean, he still produced the same numbers. And then regarding what Dave said about Steve Tasker, man, we need a special teams wing. So,
yeah.
There's a lot of guys that, you know, Brian Mitchell, I think, is another great special teams guy. You know, those guys, they were game changers. You know, we think about football, we think about all three phases, not just offense and defense. Ray Guy right. finally got in. Now we're getting kickers in. I want to see
Kevin
more.
Hester got in.
Yep. I want to see more returners. And then guys that were just general special team contributors who maybe didn't have the stats to show it, but, I mean, they were effective for their team. So yeah. I think Steve Tasker is a great reference and a great example of that.
Yeah. Dave?
And I think I understand what you're saying about the kickers, but Vinatieri had two really good careers. One with New England, one with Indianapolis.
So I think
Colt's career was underrated. But I agree. There, as Mike said, there needs to be a look or a readdressing of how special teams, because there's a lot of players who may not have gotten the notoriety Devin Hester did, but very few players. And like I said, I'll keep harping on Steve Tasker for what he did, not touching the ball in special teams, but blocking, tackling, the things that aren't the glamour.
Stripping Leon Lett in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That was Don Beebe, but I'll let Tasker.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Don Beebe is another great example.
Oh yeah,
he should be in Hall of Fame just for that play.
Yeah.
But no, it just there every once in a while you see those Pro Bowl videos where you have Tasker making some like ridiculous plays, blocking punts. He stripped a couple of players coming back on special teams in those games as well, but he was overshadowed by how great that offense was for the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. So I understand, but it is a shame for what he did, what he contributed isn't recognized more on the top level of the league.
I would even say Josh Cribbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great returner.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's just so. Yeah, I mean, but like you said, I mean, special teams has always been overlooked. I mean, and even
Eric
when
Metcalf.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to sit down. I mean,
he might have a tough chance getting in.
Yeah. But I'd have to sit down and just take a look and try to figure out which kickers, you know, just talking about special teams, but which kickers aren't in the Hall of Fame that should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
As I know, there's. I mean, if I trust memory right now, that's not going to work. I didn't need to take a look at the list to see who really should be in based on their kicking skills. I mean, because back in the 70s and 80s, and even after that, I mean, the kicking game became more the kicking game has become more and more accurate. And now they're kicking them. Now they're hitting them, what, from almost 70 yards now, field goals.
Yeah, so you got guys in the UFL hitting almost 70 yard field goals.
Yeah. So I mean,
I will say, and I'm happy that he's still with us to get inducted. I'm glad to see Tennessee inducting Chris Johnson in their Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a big class move by the organization.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, when that news came out about him having ALS, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And then you had Amon Green.
Yeah.
With Parkinson's disease. So, obviously, you know, brain injury is real. And, you know, I mean, how does football affect, I mean, there has to be a link between ALS and football. I mean, Mongo McMichael, play with the New Orleans Saints. Steve Gleason.
Yeah.
You got, Chris Johnson.
There's another Titans player. His name slipped in my mind. He was a linebacker. He's currently battling ALS right now. Yeah. And I think when you look at even like the per capita per sports, I think football, it's not even close compared to the other sports when you start seeing guys with this disease. So,
Well, I mean, I've got a brain. I mean, well, go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was going to say some of the statistics are out, or former NFL players are nearly four times more likely to develop ALS than the general population. So
yeah,
there's things out there. They're not getting publicized enough. And obviously by the places we watch television, but watch the NFL, they, as you noted, Mike, they won't be talking about it. So no. It's just how it is. It's going to be a lot of us and fans find that information, because it's not going to be on ESPN. It's not going to be on Fox. It's not going to be on Amazon Prime or you wherever you watch the game. Don't expect them to talk to anything other than, he got his bell rung. Look at him get right back in there and play the game. That's how you play football.
Yeah.
Now, a movie I haven't seen that they, I guess they talk about it a lot, Concussion.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, that's a really good movie. And actually, I think I read the book, and the book was good, too. I'd have to go take a look. I recall reading the book and how that all came about and the doctor who diagnosed it. And I didn't realize Mike Webster was only 52 when he died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, now that I'm almost 60, I think a lot about that. Hell, I'm older than Lombardi now. You know, when Lombardi died, it's so many guys died so young. I mean, we talk about pro wrestlers dying young, which that's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, football players dying young, but CTE is real. I know for me, my wife, we got scheduled brain MRIs as part of a regular health screening here in Japan. And I go, yes, I need to be. She's like, why? I go, well, I played high school football. I mean, that was 40 plus years ago. But I was getting my bell rung in practice on a daily basis there for 4 years, you know, or actually 3 years in autumn. That fourth year, I was third string. I mean, I didn't even, when you're on third string in a defending state championship school on a 52 man roster, you don't get your uniform dirty. You do not break a sweat. So, but the years before that as a, you know, 13, 14 and 15 year old. Yeah, I was getting my bell rung. So I'm curious to see what the results are going to be. I mean, because obviously you can't, after you play the game, you can't undo the damage. All you can do is manage it. So I'm curious to see with me if they can see anything that, you know, might raise a concern. Because now, in this day and age, because of movies like Concussion, because of the science, because of the medical technology has improved so much, there are ways, and now with AI, to diagnose a lot of this stuff before it becomes a problem. So then it becomes an issue of, for lack of a better term, pain management. How do you manage it? So, I mean, it just, sorry, I'm going off on, going on a tangent there. But
yeah. I remember when I was in Spain, I was playing, it was one of my last concussions that I know I had a concussion that was documented. I was running downfield on special teams, and somebody hit me right here. And the next thing I can remember is sitting on the sideline, and then I think shaking the opponent's hand at the end of the game. I still don't remember anything else from that game.
Last time I got my bell rung was in the Pugel pit during Army basic training. I got a shot to the head, and I just remember waking. Next thing, I must have been out for like 2 seconds. I mean, it was a shot to the head, and I just remember one of those waking up and shaking my opponent's hand after that. Like, oh, okay. So, yeah, I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to seeing where – and I didn't – you know, obviously I didn't really mean to segue into all this with the CTE and the ALS talk, but – yeah, how the NFL handles it. Because, I mean, they're big on celebrating the history and the people that play the games. But when it comes to people dying because of the game they played, yeah, they really don't talk about it. They kind of keep it under. And obviously, the NFL is a business, which is understandable. But, I mean, it just seems to be.
A nonprofit business now.
Yeah. I mean, that should be air quotes there. A non-profit, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they move forward with when we see again guys like Chris Johnson. I mean, Stephen Michael was, I mean, that was huge news, especially in Chicago. I mean, Chicago, everybody was on pins and needles. I mean, we would get like literally weekly updates, it seemed like, on the news about what was going on with Steve McMichael, and they still talk about him. Because it was a hell of a way to die. So, yeah. So on that and note,
I believe that.
Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
I say I believe the Cowboys defensive lineman last year. I believe after he committed, I believe he had CTE as well.
Stage 3 CTE.
That was
yeah.
And after that happened, that it was a big deal when it happened, and then you never heard anything. Like, it really disappeared really quickly. Like, it was like, and like I just ran this, we were just talking about last night or tonight at our flag football practice about head injuries and all that as the kids are progressing along at 6 and 7 years old.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question. Just NFL schedule stuff. For the this year, we have a game in Australia. Is that right?
That's right. Oh, so the Greg, game, from what I understand, without, because I don't want to go into my other browser here and look it up, but because if I do, it's going to slow stuff down, and we might have a delay with because of memory and processor speed and all that. It'll slow everything down on our live stream here. But yeah, the game I think is going to be 9 a.m. here in like Japan, 10 a.m. in Australia. So it's on in prime time back in the States. That's the plan, I believe.
You don't have to get up super early for that game.
No, but it sucks because I'd like to watch a night game here. So, and I've got to take a look and see what the X League fall schedule is to see if we've got any night games coming up. Because the autumn part of the X League is coming up. The real season of the X League.
Real season. Up. Yep.
Yeah. So, it would be nice to watch a night game here instead of having to, get up at 4 a.m. to watch a game. So, but let's continue
It will be interesting to see. Sorry. Okay. It will be interesting to see the Rams and the 49ers play on a cricket field, because the fans are going to be, unless they bring in some portable stands, the fans are going to be so far away.
Yeah. I'm looking forward just for the whole spectacle, the pregame part, because I'm hoping this is just the pomp and ceremony that are going to go happen before then. I'm looking forward to when they start playing Waltzing Matilda, because that's the unofficial Australian national anthem, and I've seen videos of when they've had Australian rules football games there, like the championship, and they play Waltz. I mean, that those places are rocking. So it'll be interesting to see how the NFL is received in Australia.
I think it's going to be similar to, except bigger, but a similar setup with like how the old Synergy Field was, or maybe even the old Three Rivers Stadium, with that, the way the shape of the stadium is, and the fans are going to be so far away. But it's definitely, it's going to be interesting. I'm definitely excited.
Yeah, me too. Well, continuing on here about our Hall of Fame talk. So before we wrap everything up here, let's talk about guys that should be in the Hall of Fame that aren't in the Hall of Fame, and just the Hall of Fame itself. And I'll start off. So to me, the big names missing in the Hall of Fame, and there's a lot of names that are missing in the Hall of Fame, but just the two off the top of my head are Jim Plunkett, Kenny Anderson. I can make a case even too for a lot of the guys that played defense for the 72 Miami Dolphins. So that was just off the top of my head. Mike, Dave?
For me, the first one again is London Fletcher. He was a great middle linebacker. He definitely deserves his due in Canton. And I think Randall Cunningham.
Oh, yeah. 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 Dave? Dave's going to go with all Buffalo Bills. Dave, can you hear us?
I think we're lagging.
Yeah, I think we are too. Dave? He's not even looking at the screen here. All right. Yeah, because he was lagging there a little bit. So, well, we'll hopefully we'll have him jump in here. So, but
you know, I got a couple. Keeps, I got,
Dave, are you there?
No, I have no bills. I will refrain from okay. putting any bills on the list. Yeah. Okay. I think I would put in Ken Anderson and Torrey Holt.
Oh yeah, Torrey Holt. I forgot about.
Am I not?
I think Torrey Holt had 8,000 yard receiving yards in a row. I mean, that definitely is Canton worthy.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, you're lagging on your part, so I think you're coming in late. So I don't know if it's your computer or your internet speed.
I hear you guys.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, my two would be Ken Anderson.
Yep, I think he's Mike. Are you seeing the same thing that I am?
Yeah, he's frozen.
Okay. He's frozen. So, well, I tell you what, we will wrap it up then, and we'll just stand. The three of us will figure this out after the show is over. So, on behalf of Mike, myself, and Dave, for everybody who's watching, thanks a lot for watching. Dave disappeared, so we'll bring him in afterwards. Yeah, because he's completely gone now. But no, for everybody who's watching or listening, check us out at gridironamerica.net. That where you can find all of our links to the show, be it Rumble, be it Kick, be it Twitch, everywhere that I think I've covered. I think I've covered all the bases and on all our social media, including. Yeah, Threads but we live stream on X, Facebook, on X, YouTube, Rumble. Go to gridironamerica.net because it's all there. It's easier for me just to have you go there and check us out because I've every few days I like to put something new football related, something historical up, including our live streams that we do. So
it's all there and there's a bunch of great content. So definitely check it out if you haven't already.
Yep. And Mike, any final words before we sign off here?
Another great week of football and looking forward to next week. And it's a great time of the year if you're a football fan.
Definitely. So we'll be talking more, hopefully this time, same bat time, same bat channel next week. If not, it'll be the day after, but we'll definitely be talking to you next week. So again, thank you very, very much for everybody who's listening, who's been downloading the podcast. And listening to us and watching us, we do appreciate it very much. And we will talk to you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You could be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.